Hola, pues raza, welcome to Chicano Highlights. Today we have a very special guest. I am your host, Beto, Beto Man, and we have a very special guest. It is Mr. Feliciano Godoy with the Blindness Support Services Technology Department. How are you doing today?
Hey, Beto, I'm doing well. And yourself?
Good, good. Where are your parents from?
My parents are from Michoacán, Mexico.
And what are their names?
Oralia y Juan.
And brothers and sisters?
I have 4 sisters and 2 more brothers.
All right. And where did you go to school? Elementary, middle school, and high school?
I went to Romoland Elementary. And then that same school also had a middle school. And I also went there. And for high school, I went to Paris High School.
All right. And then did you graduate high school?
Yes.
What did you plan to do after that?
After high school, my plans were to be a mechanic for performance cars.
Is there a special school for that?
Yes, there is a special school for that I wanted to attend, and that was UTI.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Universal Technical Institute in Rancho,
mm-hmm.
Cucamonga.
California, okay.
In California.
¿Y luego?
And then I began to work at a restaurant because I wanted a gain some money before I started my career.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up getting a second job as a construction worker, and I never got back to school.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just continued to work,
uh-huh,
as a irrigation landscaper.
Mm-hmm. So you went to various different jobs?
Yeah, I only worked at 2 jobs.
Okay.
I worked at the restaurant. And then I worked at that construction company.
All right. And then what happened?
And then during the time that I was working in construction, I actually got into a very tragic car accident,
uh-huh,
which resulted to me losing my vision.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that. Are you okay with talking about your accident?
Yeah.
All right.
I was coming from a family gathering from my foreman's house.
Uh-huh.
And
day, night?
It was around 10 o'clock at night. It was a Saturday,
mm-hmm,
September 9, 2006.
Okay.
And I was going home because I was feeling tired. And about a mile from my house, I fell asleep on the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I hit a pole and got in a really bad car accident.
Okay. And then the next thing that you remember?
The next thing that I remember, I woke up at a hospital after being unconscious for 30 days, and I did not know why I was there.
Okay, so did they put you in a coma, or did you go into a coma?
I went into a coma for about 2 hours,
mm-hmm,
and then they had me out because I had so many injuries,
mm-hmm,
that they had to give me morphine,
mm-hmm,
to take the pain away.
Right.
And that caused me to not be conscious and realize what was going on.
Okay, so 30 days passed and you start coming out of this fog, morphine drip high, ¿verdad?
Yes.
What was the first thing you realized?
You know, the first thing that I realized was that I was laying down at this bed. At that time, I could not make up where I was because I had no idea. I remember that somebody came up to me and said, "Do you know where you are?" And I like gulped and I said, "I'm home."
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When they first talked to you, did the doctors come in and talk to you, or did your family come in and talk to you and tell you what happened?
It was actually a nurse that told me that I was at the hospital, and at that time I had a trach.
Mm-hmm.
I had the whole deal going on.
Mm-hmm. So you couldn't speak?
And I couldn't speak.
Okay.
I couldn't see, but mm-hmm, I didn't know that I couldn't see because I had lost my vision.
Mm-hmm.
But I was told by a nurse that I lost my sight and that I wasn't ever going to see again.
Okay, all right. And your family, how did they respond to all of this?
You know, my mother's religious,
mm-hmm,
so she hang in there and started a prayer.
Okay, all right. And is this, so from here, you know, of course we know that blindness is a automatic shock. It's a post-traumatic stress disorder. A lot of people go through depression. You went through all those motions, ¿verdad?
Yes.
All right. So you find yourself in the hospital. How long were you in the hospital for?
I was in the hospital for 49 days.
Mm-hmm. Total?
Total.
Okay. And then, so now you get to go home. They pick you up, you go home, and now what?
So I'm on the way home now. It was a Halloween night.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt good to step outside after being in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
What seemed to me a short time,
mm-hmm.
because I was only unconscious about, what, like about 10 days?
Mm-hmm.
Because the rest of the time I was out, so I didn't have an idea that I was there for so long.
Right.
And it felt good to go outside and feel that fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that I was going back home.
Okay. All right. So you get home, and now is the process of rehealing, of healing, and understanding that you're blind. How did you come to terms with being blind?
You know, at first, I was very angry, you know, because of what had happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I still tried to do everything because I had that family support.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a tough stage to deal with because, you know, a lot of people can't really control what you're, you know, like the emotions that you're going through, and all they can do is just, you know, try to help you when they don't really understand what you're going through.
Okay, did you have any therapy? Did the doctors reach out? Did they send you to a psychologist? Anything like that?
No, actually, I did not have any therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I was asked if I needed any help, and I said no. Mm-hmm. I told them that I was good, that I still remembered all of my past,
mm-hmm.
except that little gap where I got in the car accident. But it never came to my mind that they were talking about counseling or anything in that nature.
Okay, let's speed up just a little bit. How long did it take you to realize that, say, hey, I need some help here. I'm totally blind. What do I do next?
It took me about 3 years.
3 years to recover and heal.
Yeah, because physically, I was not ready, mm-hmm. because I had been at the hospital for 49 days.
Mm-hmm.
I had lost about 35 pounds. I was weak to the point that I could not do anything for myself. Mm-hmm. I couldn't walk,
mm-hmm.
because I was so weak.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to the point that I couldn't even sit down on the side of the bed without falling back.
Right.
You know, my mother says that I was reborn again, just like the babies when they're trying to sit down and sit down on their own.
Right, exactly.
So it took me about 3 years, and then that's when I seeked for help after running into the CEO that I work for now.
Mm-hmm. And so this took about 3 years. So we're talking about 2006, 2007, 2008, or 2009. Which one?
The year I met him,
uh-huh.
was in what would be late 2008.
Okay, so late 2008, you run into, we're speaking about Pete Benavides, correct?
That is right.
Okay, he is the CEO of Blindness Support Services. Okay, and did you know him or you just ran into him?
It was interesting because my sister, I'm actually a twin. I have a fraternal twin.
Okay.
My sister has always been involved in soccer.
Okay, well, what does fraternal mean? Does that mean she's as ugly as you, or?
Fraternal means that we were, I believe it...
Born
in the same time, okay, but in a separate...
Yeah. Okay. At least you can laugh, because I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, we were born in separate bags, I guess they say.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So,
yeah. Okay. And so then he knew your sister.
No, it just happened to be that my sister was in this soccer team,
mm-hmm.
and her coach was Pete Benavidez's son. So one day I went to the park,
mm-hmm.
you know, to go support my sister in the soccer game,
mm-hmm.
and Pete Benavidez was there, and that's when he began to you know, talk to me about what's out there,
mm-hmm.
and at that time I had no idea. I knew that I had a cell phone. It was a LG NV3, and I liked that phone because I was able to text message,
mm-hmm.
because it spoke out the text messages when I pressed the pound key, and mm-hmm. I was satisfied with that. I had no idea that there was talking computers, anything that was related to like what I do now.
Okay, well, let's continue the story here. Now, from here, you end up going to the Braille Institute?
That is right. From that point on, I began to go to the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, California.
Okay.
And
you were there for how long?
I was there for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
I began attending these classes towards the end of May. I remember that it was a little bit before my birthday,
mm-hmm.
and I started classes there, and it was a really great place because there I was able to be involved with other individuals that were in the same position as I were, and it was very helpful to be around others that, you know, have the same disability as you, because you could begin to cope with it and, you know, move forward from there.
Exactly. Understand where you're at, where they're at, and exactly how people deal with the problem, ¿verdad?
Yes.
Or with the situation. So from there, you end up back in Riverside.
From Braille Institute, I stopped attending there because I felt that I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I was ready for the next step.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to take some classes at the MSJC College in Menifee, California.
Okay, what does that mean?
Mount San Jacinto
okay, there
College.
You go. Uh-huh. All right.
And I began taking some classes there. And I was doing about 13 units,
mm-hmm.
you know, first time in college. And I was told not to do that, but I went ahead and did it anyway.
Right, okay.
And, you know, I passed my classes,
mm-hmm.
and then I went for the second semester,
mm-hmm.
and that's when I realized that I needed to improve my Braille skills, because when I was doing math homework, I found it to be very difficult working off of Microsoft Word and not having that tactile feel to know where you're at with a math equation. So from there, that's when I began to take some classes at the Blindness Support Services Incorporated in Riverside, California.
Okay. Now, let me ask you about Menifee, Mount San Jacinto Community College. Were you planning to get a degree or qué?
Yes, I was planning to get a degree in computer science because I've always enjoyed technology before I, you know, had lost my sight. And this time around, I wanted to get my degree in computer science to be able to do programming to help the visually impaired with, you know, adaptive technology.
Okay. So then, did you finish?
No, I did not.
Okay. All right. So now you end up at Blindness Support Services. Now, what do you do there?
So that's when I began to take some Braille classes, mm-hmm. to improve my skills. And I was there for quite some time, I'd say about a year, and I was learning Braille. And eventually, I was offered a job there to be a computer teacher, what they call a rehabilitation technology specialist.
Okay. All right. Now let's jump into some of that technology. Now, when you say the computer, there's a speech program. What is that called?
There is various programs that could be installed on the computer, and the one that I use is JAWS by Freedom Scientific.
Okay.
JAWS is an acronym for job access with speech.
Okay.
And it is a screen reader that is fully operated by a keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
So we do not use a mouse because we cannot see where the pointer is on the computer. So we have to control everything by using the keyboard and listening to the feedback that is being given from the computer speakers.
Right. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, the keyboard was developed way before the mouse, and that there's many, many different commands on the keyboard. And then, of course, the mouse came by and took over because it's just quicker and faster for those who are visually impaired. But everybody was using the keyboard for close to 20 years, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that were using the keyboard before the mouse came in. And a lot of people today that can see are still familiar with some of these shortcuts on the keyboard that allow you to do tasks much quicker than having to bring your pointer to like a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
But you would have to be able to retain all this information so that you can know how to apply those shortcuts.
Okay, so now a lot of people don't understand that there is a difference between people who are visually impaired and people who are totally blind. Both of them are considered legally blind, but there is a difference because the visually impaired mean that they retain some sight. It could be, on a spectrum, but they need a different program. What's that program called?
There's Zoom Text,
mm-hmm.
and there's also another magnifying software by the name of Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two most popular softwares that are available in the schools and in the workforce.
Okay. Now, the blindness support services, this technology, how does this work? If I was to go in, let's just pretend I'm blind here, and I was to go in and I wanted to take a class, what would I have to do?
If you would like to take classes at blindness support services, you would have to be a consumer from the Department of Rehabilitation so that they can send you to a vendor that can give you training. Blindness Support Services is a vendor for the Department of Rehabilitation.
Okay, yeah, that's one way. Okay, and then?
And then that's when you are scheduled to come in,
mm-hmm.
and then that's where the assessments begin, and that's when we evaluate the individual and find out what it is that they want to learn, and you know, so we can get their goals straightened out.
Okay, but is it like a regular class that I have to go 8 to 5 Monday through Friday, or I mean, what do I do?
The classes are really they're really dependent on your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time you have to go in twice a week for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people that go in 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why we say go in twice a week for 2 hours is because that's where you could really take advantage of the training, because if you come in for a couple of hours a week, it's not going to help you much, because by the time you come around the next time, it's like reviewing the same thing
in order to memorize it.
Right. So.
Now, do people find learning the JAWS program difficult?
Yes, a lot of people have found it to be very difficult, especially because a lot of people are beginning to use a computer, so they have to understand a lot of the terminology on the computer before they can learn how to operate the JAWS software.
Yeah. See, and that's another thing that a lot of people don't understand, is if you never worked with a computer, if you never really understood a keyboard, then you're going to have to come back and really start to understand those commands of the keyboard and understand how to listen, ¿verdad? Because, I mean, we're good talkers. Right? Nos gusta hablar, pero the thing is that, you know, a lot of times we don't stop to listen. And when you're listening to a computer voice, ¿verdad? And they have several voices from my understanding that you can switch, but it is kind of difficult to understand at first, ¿verdad?
Yeah, it definitely takes some getting used to, because at first you start with the slow rate, which is about 20%, and as you are getting better and more advanced on the computer, you begin to speed things up because you want to be more productive. Mm-hmm. You want to do things faster. So all of a sudden, your computer is talking very fast to where others cannot recognize what it is saying. They can't pick it up.
All right. So now, when can people get on the internet?
Yeah, people can do just about anything that any other sighted person can do. Now, we are restricted to pictures, but websites that are developed in a manner where they are accessible to screen readers, they have what they call the alt tags. So whenever we come across a picture, it will give us a description of what that picture is.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if there is a little boy sitting on a chair on the computer, and that picture on that website has an alt tag, when we navigate through that picture, it's going to say something like graphic, kid sitting on computer terminal.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll give something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's up to you if you want to know more about it, to have someone that can see explain in full detail. But most of the time, people really have no interest on having that extra description.
Okay. Now, what about media players? You know, like playing a CD, recording, ripping, doing that type of tasks.
Yeah, you're able to do all that stuff as well. There's iTunes, which is very popular among the blind community because we all have iPhones and other iPad devices. And then there's Windows Media Player. It's really a preference at this point and what device you're using for music, because you cannot use a regular MP3 with iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Windows Media Player comes in.
Right. So everything is just dependent, and as you go through the process, you're learning how to use different programs, ¿verdad?
Yeah.
All right. And is there any new technology that's coming out?
New technology that's coming out? Right now, the newest technology that is going to come out, there's going to be an announcement on the Apple Watch on the 10th of April. Actually, it's not an announcement. It's a pre-order date, and that's when people can go ahead and pre-order that device, and then
that's 2015.
That's April 10th 2015.
Uh-huh.
And then once they pre-order it, they will be issued on the 24th of April.
Okay, but what does that device do
for the visually impaired? We're still trying to figure out whether it's going to be accessible. We have heard that it is, but then we don't really know until it's out. So this is going to be a Apple Watch that is going to be supported by something like the iPhone, and you can track health and other apps within the watch on your wrist.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, all right. And using phones. Now, this is very important for a lot of blind people, you know, using cell phones. A lot of people don't want to pay, you know, the internet fee, the data plan. I mean, $100, you know, to use a cell phone. All I want to do is make a local call. are people finding the cell phone a lot easier now?
Yeah, the iPhone is a really great device if, you know, you have that budget to purchase the phone and keep up with the monthly payments of the data plan, because that's where a lot of people have trouble, you know, trying to pay $30 a month for a data plan just to use a phone. Now, there's other carriers that have much cheaper plans, and you're not paying as much.
Mm-hmm.
But these phones are really great. They're replacing a lot of adaptive technology devices, because the iPhone can do a lot of things than if you were to carry something like 5 to 10 devices in your backpack just to be able to do all of those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can do all of those things within apps on the iPhone. And these iPhones are much cheaper in the long run, because then you don't have to buy all these other adaptive technology devices that cost hundreds of dollars compared to an app that can do that similar task for free or just for a small fee of like $20.
Okay. Is there anything, you know, within the technology that you want to tell me about?
Anything about the technology? I would have to say that the iPhone, you know, like I said earlier, the iPhone has built-in accessibility, and that's a voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
It's a screen reader for the people that are totally blind. There's also a zoom magnification on the iPhone that's built-in. And a lot of people don't realize that this is built-in and that you can do so much with the iPhone. And a lot of people prefer the Android device right now, but accessibility-wise, for people that need a screen reader, the Android is not there yet.
Right. Okay. All right. Now, your experience. Now, getting back to your experience and going blind, what would you tell people that are going through that process of going blind? How would you encourage them? What would you tell them to do?
I would tell them to seek for help as soon as possible, because there's a lot of training out there that we don't know of. And the sooner you go, the sooner you can start to move forward.
All right. And what would you tell people if they see you on the street, you know, in respect to how they behave with you?
A lot of people have an understanding of, you know, people that are blind, that they aren't doing much.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that we can also do a lot of the things that they can do just with the support of adaptive technology, because we can also work, you know, we use a computer differently, but we can also perform that same task, and sometimes we could complete it faster. At that point, it's really dependent on the knowledge. But I would have to say that we can also, you know, do the same things that you can do, and there's no reason why people out there in the public should really look above us.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming in. We really do appreciate it. I am, of course, Beto, your host. You're listening to Chicano Highlights, and we've been talking to Mr. Feliciano Godoy, ¿verdad?
Godoy.
Okay.
And I would also like to say that if you're interested to see what we're about at Blindness Support Services, you check out our website at www.blindnesssupport.com. We also have a Facebook, facebook.com/blindnesssupport. And there you will see a lot of the things that are going on over at Blindness Support. And check us out.
All right. Now, remember that Blindness Support Services is located in the city of Riverside, California. For those of you who are out there listening to us on the internet and around the world, ¿verdad? That's going to do it for us, Raza. Thank you for coming by, Feliciano.
Yeah, thank you for having me here. It was a pleasure talking to you.
And you'll be back, ¿verdad?
Yes, I will be back.
Okay, that's going to do it for us, Raza. Thank you for tuning in. And we will see you hasta la próxima. Ahí te guacho.